this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Are you already breaking these out?
It's been a week, dude.
It has been a week.
Lots happening in politics.
Yeah, we brought most of a six-pack here.
Well, here's what's interesting is that this is leftover beer. I don't mind drinking leftover beer.
I don't either.
But my beer, we still have three or four more cans left. There's only one of Wheeler's cans
left.
Well,
that tells you, though, that these were popular because these have been sitting in the work fridge. Somebody pilfered these.
No one else drank them but you, bro.
This is the Rahr & Sons Paleta de Mango.
And from Fort Worth, right?
From Fort Worth.
Yeah. So I have the Manhattan Project, one of my favorite beers anywhere. Mm. It's a Pilsner. It's the necessary evil.
Do you know what Paleta is?
No, but you're my Spanish teacher, so go ahead and tell me.
I think it's like the equivalent of popsicle, like mango popsicle.
Oh, paleta, yeah.
This one has a kick, though. It's got
some kind of
a chili in it. Yeah.
What does it say at the bottom? Something with mango?
Mango beer with chilies.
Oh, nice.
Chiles. We're going to have a drinking game today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, every time you hear, should Biden drop out of the race or who could replace Biden, you're going to take another swing.
We'll need more than this then, probably.
That has been all the talk.
What a week for Democrats. Mm. I would not want to be a Democrat this week right here because
no.
They are in a jam. We're 4 months out from the November election, and there's talk that Biden might be dropping out of the race. New York Times reported that on Wednesday morning.
So, you know, and we called this, you know, as we were watching the debate, we did special debate coverage on the night of last week. Within probably the first 5-10 minutes of that debate, we were already saying across to each other, like, this is going to be a big, big thing.
It's bad for Biden.
The way he has come out is going to be a big, big thing.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it seems like it really snowballed going into that weekend. Then you felt some of it come out of it, you know, some of the momentum come out of it when we had that huge Supreme Court decision on presidential immunity that was so controversial on Monday. But then it reformed again, much to, I'm sure, the president and his campaign's chagrin. This has really started to build some momentum now.
It's a huge problem for Democrats and the Biden campaign especially, because it's not going away. And this is an issue, not like an affair might be for a candidate or a bad bank deal you might have had 30 years ago, like
right.
Whitewater or something like that.
Yeah, I saw
this.
This
is something you can't send a statement out and get out from under.
Yeah, you can't send out a statement say, I'm going to get younger.
Right.
And that's what I guess the concern is with a lot of voters, according to the polls that we've been seeing, is that they think that, you know, President Biden, I mean, you know, has lost a step and that he's just too old for office. I think one of the polls, what were you reading?
Wall Street Journal
80%?
Poll. Wall Street Journal says 80% of likely voters think that Joe Biden's too old to run for a second term. They also said that more than 55% of likely voters think Donald Trump's too old.
Even though he's just 3 years
He's three or four years younger
age,
than
yeah.
him, yeah. But this is an issue for Biden. So we've been talking just before we hit record here, to think, okay, well, if Biden drops out.
You got to take a swig after you said that.
Good call.
Just saying. That's the game. No, we really should be a little more responsible than taking a swig every time that's said.
If Biden drops out, go ahead.
I just took one.
Who do they replace him with? So, in order to, there's a lot of logistical issues here. Can you get someone else's name on 50 ballots in 50 states?
Yeah.
What happens to the money, all this stuff? So, if Kamala Harris takes over the reins, all the money they raised so far, which the Biden campaign and Harris campaign has had a tremendous deal at fundraising. June was their best month ever.
Right, including after this debate.
They collected $38 million after the debate. So there are a number of donors still giving money, but the New York Times had a second article out on Wednesday saying donors are privately talking, and donors had a meeting in Aspen, Colorado, wondering, what are we going to do? We can't keep giving money to this issue if he doesn't reassure us that he can handle the job for four more years.
Mm-hmm. So what allays all of those fears? Does it allay fears if you have the president now go on sort of a speaking and engagement and interview and news conference tour?
Right.
Does it only allay the fears if he says, fine, I'm going to step away from this? But then you have whole new fears about, you know, well who can do it? Who can beat Trump? Who can get in there and do this in such a quick way and be able to pull in the money and all of that? So this buzz has really reached this pitch now that has become too loud to ignore, I think, even for a lot of Democrats who wanted to ignore it in the beginning. The question is, does this momentum continue in the days ahead? And I think that the president and his team see now that if they can't right this ship in the very near future here, they've got a real problem on their hands going forward.
And do you know who it was that has really come out and been public about this? It was Texas Democrats. Mm-hmm. The scrappy Texas Democratic Party. You had a number of people, Lloyd Doggett, a congressman from Austin, who's
been in it a long time.
He's 77, I believe, himself.
Yeah.
He's a contemporary with Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Lloyd Doggett, congressman, Democrat from Austin, sends out a statement on Tuesday, the first member of Congress to call on Joe Biden to
first Democrat.
Withdraw. First Democrat. Calls on Joe Biden to withdraw. And that had huge news. And I want you to hear a clip from exactly what what Doggett said and why Doggett's saying it now, because this has been an issue for Democrats for 4 or 5 years. But here's what Doggett said.
My concern is that a criminal and his gang are about to take over our government and we may never get it back. What we need is the enthusiasm and the excitement that has been missing there, that President Biden has lagged for a year behind Trump. The debate, instead of adding momentum, added disappointment and disillusionment. The idea of having a new person who might excite all those double haters, that there's another alternative out there and bring us together, would give us a much better chance in the fall than we have right now.
So Doggett's the first Democratic member of Congress to say this.
Right.
There is another Democrat in Texas who said it before Doggett, and State Rep Ron Reynolds. He's a Democrat from Missouri City. He's in the state legislature. He's a chairman of the Texas Black Caucus. We're going to hear from him in just a moment here. But you know who is saying this is distracting, this is not helping us, this is bad to even talk about?
And saying it forcefully.
Democrats. Very forcefully.
As she happens to do a lot.
She goes viral all the time.
Yeah.
And she's also one of the surrogates for the Biden campaign. It's the Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett. She's a Dallas Democrat. And we called her up and said, listen, you know, Biden's in this jam. You're out there speaking on behalf of the campaign. What do you tell members of your own party? So we sat down and talked to her. Here's what she said.
Something tells me that President Biden wasn't sitting around waiting on Ron Reynolds nor Lloyd Doggett to tell him what to do. So I absolutely think that everyone needs to calm down. You know, the problem is that Democrats are afraid of their own shadow, right? Here it is. No Republican nor Democrat has called for Trump to go anywhere once he had his initially 90-something counts reduced to 80-something felony counts, and even after he was convicted. You know, the Republicans are standing by their man. The fact that Democrats are so scared of their own shadow and won't just stand up and say, hey, he's got a record to run on, and it's a very strong record, we stand with him, is absolutely ridiculous.
You said that Democrats are scared of their own shadow.
Yeah.
Democrats talking about this, though, just take the focus off the race itself and off the issues.
Correct.
What should happen here? This is your party.
It's terrible strategy, right? Like, I mean, the question, you know, it's kind of like people used to say, who needs enemies when you've got friends like this? Like, that's kind of how I'm feeling right now, right? Because literally with the Supreme Court coming down with such a horrific, you know, decision the other day, the idea that we're not focusing in on the real issues. The real issue is that this is Donald Trump's Supreme Court, a Supreme Court that he wants to make even worse. He wants to have two of the Supreme Court justices step down so that he can then appoint two more for a lifetime appointment. That should scare everyone out of their mind. And regardless of whether or not they believe the president performed well or not, they should at least say, I know that this guy will not give us more of what we've been getting. And I know that at least some of our freedoms won't be on the chopping block. Like, we have significant issues. And the fact that people want to say, well, 90 minutes, it was awful, and so we're going to throw it all away, is absolutely crazy to me.
All right, so you heard Congresswoman Crockett there saying that, you know, get out and do some work instead of, you know, complaining and sending out statements. Twitter fingers is what she called.
Twitter fingers.
Lloyd Doggett kindly and politely called him Twitter fingers. But she and Democratic leaders like Hakeem Jeffries, the minority leader in the House of Representatives, all say that, listen, we've got to have a House meeting, like Jasmine said. We've got to make sure we're all on board. Republicans are on board. Republicans unify behind their candidate. Republicans have a tremendous messaging machine that they've had for 30 years now that can get everyone lined up behind an issue. Democrats don't have that.
Yeah. Even when Republicans abandoned Donald Trump back in 2016 after the Access Hollywood tape, a lot of them came back into the fold really fast after that. And even after January 6th, you saw, you know, when he was no longer in power, he was down in Florida. People even in the Republican ranks felt like it was a disgraced ending to his presidency. And they took to the floor there in Congress to say so. And then, lo and behold, you know, within days, you know, he was being sort of welcomed back into the party again. So they do tend to rally around their folks. But you're not seeing that 100%. As much with Democrats. Although, you know, Representative Crockett there, you know, is offering a defense, and some Democrats are. But even Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker Emerita, came out several days ago. I think it was on MSNBC that she had given the interview to. And she said, he needs to get out there. He needs to, you know, show voters that this is not, you know, a thing that's like ongoing, that it's, you know, not pervasive with him, that he, you know, is still in step.
He needs to do that. Will his campaign guide him there? Can Biden do that? That's the other million-dollar question. Speaking of MSNBC, Julian Castro, the former member of Congress, former HUD secretary under President Barack Obama, former mayor of San Antonio, he was on MSNBC on Tuesday, and he was asked by Chris Jansing, I believe, do you think Joe Biden should drop out of the race? And Julian Castro gave something to the effect that I think a younger candidate would essentially help motivate and energize Democrats more. I'm not going to say he's not wrong about that.
Yeah.
Ron Reynolds, though, we mentioned him earlier, too. Ron Reynolds is a diehard Democrat. He represents Missouri City and Fort Bend County, parts of Fort Bend County, just south of Houston. And he's a chair of the Texas Legislative Black Caucus. He was one of the very first people, in the hours after the presidential debate in Atlanta, he goes to Instagram, and I should have brought it to the podcast here.
So this is what Representative Crockett would call Instagram fingers.
Yeah, Twitter fingers, Instagram fingers. So Ron Reynolds, the state rep, gets on Instagram, and you look him up. I think it's at Rep Ron Reynolds, and he says it's time that we, as Democrats, he says, immediately, thank Joe Biden for his years of service, but we have to immediately put up Kamala Harris and move on. And he essentially said something like, I said what I said. Come challenge me. So, you know what? I called him up. I didn't challenge him, but I was curious what other people said about it. Here's what he told us.
If we decide that we're going to change horses, I think that if we did it at the convention, I think we would have sufficient time to get behind our Democratic nominee and our new ticket. And it, in my opinion, it could energize. You take away age as a factor on the ballot. You take away some of the other weaknesses that President Biden has. And I want to emphasize this, Jason. I think President Biden has done a phenomenal job of taking our country from the brink after COVID to resilience, lowest unemployment numbers in decades, stabilizing our economy, doing so many things to bring confidence back, investing in HBCUs and public education, the infrastructure dollars. He's done so much for this country. So I don't want to diminish President Biden, but I am, just like the polls say, about close to 70% of the country is concerned about his age and fitness. That is a real concern. So we have to be candid. And I think that many Democrats like myself are really grappling with it. They're troubled with how do we reconcile this, the concerns of his age and his physical and mental capacity for the next 4 years, not just for the debates or the campaign, but going forward. So that's a legitimate concern. And I want to see President Biden make sure that he's doing the statesman thing and doing what's best for the country, not just best for the party, but a statesman makes tough decisions. And he will have to reconcile that with his physician, with the First Lady and his first family, and his close advisors. But I hope and pray for the sake of the country that if he decides that he will not resign and he'll run, that he is fully fit. And I believe that if he does, he is, and that we can galvanize behind him, because the choice is stark between Biden and Trump.
All right, so we've heard both sides of the Democratic Party. We've been used to Republicans fighting each other. Mm-hmm. It's not often you have Democrats fighting each other.
Yeah, especially here in Texas, Republicans, you've had these two, you know, sort of offshoots of the party who've been battling it out, and it was a nasty primary, and they've, you know, been through their own wars. But nationally, Democrats are really having a moment right now. And where this goes, I don't think anybody knows at this point. I don't think President Biden knows at this point. I don't think the campaign knows. I don't think anyone really knows how this is going to shake out in the days and weeks ahead.
So what to watch for? Obviously, everyone's watching to see the very first post-debate interview that mm-hmm. Joe Biden is giving. The president's mm-hmm. giving it to George Stephanopoulos on ABC on Friday night.
I think his campaign is going to be watching to see, is that enough? Even if you have a stellar...
There's no way that's enough. There's
yeah,
no way.
So even if you have a stellar performance, you know, I was talking to you about this. Even if you get out there and do jumping jacks, as Joe Biden, during this interview, yeah. and you do higher math, you know, off the top of your head during this interview, there's still going to be some people out there who are skeptical, who say that's a one-off. What else can you show me?
Yeah.
Will you be able to do enough?
So how does Biden get out from underneath this? I don't know. There are a lot smarter minds than I do. Our esteemed political producer at Yolitics Global Headquarters is Bernadine Steptoe, and she always chastises me, and she's the smartest mind in the room, number one. She's the Columbo in the room, the Peter Falk. But she always says, oh, it's simple. It's campaign 101, Jason. You just don't get it. You got to change the message. Yeah, you do change it. I agree. She's smart, and you do have to change the message.
Yeah.
But you can't get out from underneath the age. How do you get out from underneath that? You
right.
don't. So if Biden were to drop out, let's move on down the tracks here a tad, and Kamala decides that she's going to be the nominee, or the party decides she's going to be the nominee, and it has to happen by August
quickly.
When
yeah.
the Democratic National Convention is going to be in Chicago, who's her vice president?
And just imagine, I mean, you know, if you're playing out this scenario,
everyone's
playing
this scenario out. Yeah.
If you're playing out this scenario, imagine ramping up that campaign. Yeah, she's part of the ticket right now, but let's be honest. You know, it's you know, Joe Biden is calling the shots. You know,
yeah.
it's his you know, campaign more so because he's at the top of the ticket. Imagine if you are her and you are put into that position, imagine ramping up that campaign in time, going through a convention, having a vice presidential pick, and you know, them being prepped and up to speed and ready to go and push this thing through. You're running out of time here. I mean, this window
yeah.
is closing fast.
She has 3 months from the convention before the election.
That would be like nothing we've ever seen in this country.
I can't think of another situation. I mean, you think of LBJ,
yeah.
he dropped out way before. He said, I will not accept, I shall not run, I will not accept
right.
Another nomination. But I can't think of another situation where this has happened in modern American politics.
We would be watching something unprecedented.
And this seems like the last 8 years have been unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are, so let me ask you the question, because you didn't answer it, Wheeler.
No.
Very clever. Who would be Kamala Harris's running mate? I think, can you imagine if Kamala Harris and Democrats, I don't see it happening in a million years, but I've been wrong about a million things too.
You have. I can verify that.
What if she picked like Adam Kinzinger, the former Republican member of Congress?
Who is a Texas resident now.
Kinzinger is?
Yeah. Down in the hill country somewhere.
I didn't know that.
No, you got to keep up with this stuff on Twitter. You got to get your Twitter fingers going.
I know, clearly.
Yeah, or you know, unless this has changed in just the past couple of months, yeah, he made the move down to Texas.
Can you imagine?
Am I imagining that? Did I make that up?
I don't know. If anyone's still listening to this far into the podcast,
I'm going to go look right after this. But I'm telling you, he's in Texas now.
Well, if Wheeler's wrong, I'm going to bury him in him being wrong.
I'll look it up right now.
Yeah, why don't you get on there and look? What if?
Did
what
you look
if
it up, Daryl? Did you see that?
Daryl's our producer here behind the scenes. Well, here it is. Hey Siri, where does Adam Kinzinger live?
We're gonna depend on Siri.
Hey Siri, where does Adam Kinzinger live?
You know what's funny is that I just
it
talked
says
when
he
you
lives
were talking
in Shanahan,
to her.
Shanahan, Illinois.
No, it's Siri's wrong.
All right, Siri.
Hold on.
Where? Rockford, Illinois?
No, he doesn't. I'm telling you. Hold on. Here, it's here. I know it's here. Here it is. Adam Kinzinger has come to Texas to, hold on,
no, that's 2021.
It's not to visit.
Wheeler's wrong about something.
No, there was a,
you know what,
let's, no, there was a
let's
whole
make
thing.
This part the first part of the podcast. Can we edit this as the first part of the podcast?
I'm going to tell you right now, and
that
unless
wrong?
Unless I had very vivid.
No, he said it sold his home in Illinois, and then this is an article from 2022, so let me see, but where did he go?
Yeah. I'm telling you right now, if I am wrong about this,
what will you do if you're wrong?
I have had some, I have had some amazing.
We're not stopping this recording.
I've had some amazing dreams, if that's the case, because.
What are you drinking?
Because
bro?
There was Ted Cruz was in fact. Am I making this up? I swear to you, Ted Cruz had said something questioning the Texan-ness of Adam Kinzinger.
I've never seen this anywhere.
I'm telling you.
All right. Well, the original question about 15 minutes ago was, who would Vice President Kamala Harris pick as her vice presidential nominee if she were to become the presidential nominee? I think Adam Kinzinger would be a tremendous pick for Democrats.
That would be interesting.
I can never see them doing that. Who are some other names out there?
He lives in Houston. Well, this is according to Wikipedia, but they do have a source.
He lives in Houston?
Yeah. I mean, that's what...
Listen, I'm a former resident in Houston. This guy's born in Houston.
I'm telling you,
And this is from The Hill. I mean, that's the source.
Yeah. All right. Houston. Nevertheless, he's a Texan. Does Kamala Harris pick a Texan as her VP nominee, a former Republican who now lives in Texas as a VP nominee?
I don't know. You know, there's other Democrats who've been bandied about, you know, Gretchen Whitmer, the governor in Michigan, which of course is a big swing state.
Sure.
Gavin Newsom in California has been talked about a lot. But again, this game is going to just keep playing out and playing out. You know, it all comes down to what does President Biden do, though, because these games can keep being played out all they want to, but I think a lot of folks, you know, within the party are waiting for him to make his decision before any of it.
Well, let me ask you then, do you see any way that President Biden can get out from underneath this age issue?
No. How do you get out of that? I mean, yeah, you can convince people that you haven't lost a step by doing a lot of, you know, events and so forth, as long as you can, you know, prove that you don't have a prompter or whatever, but You can't turn back the clock, and you can't make people unsee what they saw in that debate that they did not like. You can't make people unsee that.
I don't know how President Biden and Democrats get out from underneath this. Now, there's a lot of smart minds, and there may be one or two listening to us that may
have... You think
have,
there's only one or two smart minds listening to
that
us?
They may have some ideas on this. Everyone's laughing about that part. Should we cut that out?
Yeah, you should cut that out.
But I don't know how he gets out from underneath this.
I don't know either. But that's what these...
And you can't find this game.
I'm going to find this because it's...
I found Oracle. Oh, sorry.
Okay, yeah, 538. Do you consider 538 to be reputable?
Like the Hill. Yeah.
Okay. They have a tweet here, this or an X here, whatever we call it these days. Former GOP rep Adam Kinzinger sat down with 538's whoever to talk about his move from Illinois to Texas and whether he plans to ever challenge Republican Senator Ted Cruz.
Why aren't we doing a podcast about that?
I think I actually...
We didn't have Kinzinger on this podcast.
I actually pitched this in one of our meetings one day. You don't listen.
I must have been off that. I don't recollect
Well,
that
you just weren't listening.
Why haven't we reached out to Kinzinger?
I did reach out to him, but I think it was on Instagram. I didn't, you know, have a contact form, so I think I sent him an Instagram
did
message.
Did you say you were the other Jason?
No, I said I was the only Jason.
That's probably why he didn't
Never
recognize
received
you.
A call back.
He didn't recognize you, and that's the reason. You have to say you're the other Jason.
Yeah, you trust ABC News as well. I have two sources here now. The former congressman and recent Texas transplant explains why he's not done with politics just yet.
That's what I like about Wheeler. If he's thinks he's remotely right about something, he will go to the ends of the earth to find something.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I have...
He would put his entire 401k into the research to find this thing
he had to. I have always said that. Like, when I know that I'm right, I will fight until there's no breath left in me.
Oh, we know that. Oh, yeah, we all know that. So, you know, the coming days, man, are going to be fascinating on this. Our friend Bud Kennedy from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram said the other day that he thinks that there won't be a decision made by Biden. I don't put words in Bud's mouth, but he essentially said, listen, Biden's not going to make a decision until probably middle way, either right before the Republican National Convention or right after the RNC. Hmm. So as not to give Republicans, with a tremendous TV audience,
right,
an ability to, you know, attack a new candidate.
Bud is one of the smartest people I know in the, you know, political world, in sure, the analyst world. he knows he has good instinct, and I think that he's right on with that observation.
Makes sense,
yeah. And I think it would be smart if they were going to do it to in that sense to wait. But I also know that there's a lot of people in the party who go, we can't afford to wait. You know, we need a decision from you now. So there's a lot of people, you know, making that call as well. So
here's the next question I have for you. Let me ask you, Wheeler. Let me interview you for a moment here.
So this is my nightmare come true.
If Biden were to drop out.
You have to take a swig.
It's almost done, too, by the way. If that were to happen, there are a number of scenarios that establish themselves here, but could Kamala Harris, if she's a nominee, I don't see how she would not be if Biden were to drop out, could Kamala Harris and someone else on the ticket, could they win in November?
I don't know. We've seen some polls to that effect, putting Kamala Harris up against Donald Trump. And at least the poll I saw the other day said that she was holding her own in that matchup. But I haven't seen a lot of polling in that, number one. Number two, you're always cautious with polls anyway nowadays. Number three, when they asked that question, was that question still so fantastical that the people who were answering the question, you know, kind of giving just an off-the-cuff answer? I don't think anyone really knows that. I can bet you, though, that someone is doing not only public polls on that right now, but private polling as well.
As we speak. 100%.
That is happening not only with her name, that's happening with a lot of these other names, the Gavin Newsoms, the Gretchen Whitmers that you've heard about.
Other Jason, all of them.
Yeah, that's already been happening.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting if he does make the call to step out, what that battle looks like right away. It's going to be a pitched battle, I think.
The CBS News polls, there was a CBS News poll recently, which, and I haven't seen any others like this, that said that I believe Kamala Harris and Donald Trump were, I think, tied.
Yeah, I think it was a statistical tie.
And that was surprising to me because Kamala Harris has always had lower disapprovals.
Yeah.
Much lower disapprovals. So, you know, the question is, what do you think of Jason Wheeler? Do you like him or not? And his Wheeler disapprovals are low. Kamala Harris, her disapprovals have been low. She's going to have that fight if this were to happen.
Wait, disapproval's high, you mean?
Right. More people disapprove of her, so it'd be higher.
But you see, you know, with Trump, too, you know,
his disapprovals
are high. So,
here we are.
You know, we could go on and on. Like, this is happening, but this is also happening. The funny thing is, this isn't just happening in a podcast here in Texas. This is happening right now in the halls of power in D.C., these same discussions.
And the fact that Texas Democrats kind of lit the fire on this is phenomenal to me.
Yeah, I think everybody sat back a little bit, you know, with the exception of the one, you know, Instagram post that came from a Texas lawmaker
Ron Reynolds, yeah.
But I think everyone else kind of was trying to sit back and wait and see, and then you just felt like the gate starting to open, and now people are coming out for and against him staying.
Well, you have Lloyd Doggett, you have Julian Castro, former member, cabinet member for President Obama. You know, on a lower level, you have a state representative from Texas.
Yeah.
There's no way that these three are going to be the last three.
No. We'll see something building in the days ahead. Will it be in favor of President Biden staying in the race? Will it be more in favor of him leaving it? That's the question right now.
Wow.
But it's certain that we are going to see something momentous going on. We're going to see the momentum. The question is, which direction does this momentum go in? And right now, up to now, it has not been favoring President Biden.
It's already happening. So if you listen this far into the podcast, thanks so much for that. Wheeler's trying to research something else real quick. You got to see how fast he's typing here.
I'm always
He
on
wants
this
to get
thing.
Something else into this episode as fast as he can right now.
What else do you want to put in? I was just looking. I was just making sure that I had that poll, had that CBS poll right. You know,
trying to get Kinzinger's address here? What?
Well, you know, if somebody's got it, you know, I mean, we'd like to have him on. Maybe we could talk about this too.
Look up that poll real quick before we let you guys go.
It says here, you trust ABC News, right?
Do I?
You should.
I do.
ABC has, if Biden drops out, who could replace him? Harris does better against Trump in polls. This according to ABC News.
Wow.
Wait, It says, in a potential matchup between Harris and former President Donald Trump, Harris and Trump were nearly tied, with 42% supporting her and 43% supporting the former president, according to an Ipsos poll released on Tuesday. This article was just put out on July 3rd, just after that. So I was correct, again, in that they are not necessarily tied there, but that is a statistical tie because she's at 42 and he's at 43. I am batting 1,000 right now, just saying. All right, so it's got no more words.
It's unbelievable what I put up with here.
Let's thank Denise Wright.
Denise Wright?
Oh, yeah. You responded to Denise the other day. Do you
yes, Denise
remember her?
Emailed us the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, Denise, thank you so much.
She was, in fact, emailing about our coverage, I think, on the night of the debate.
Denise, and you had a great recommendation for a bar or a brewery up in, I believe it was in Garland. Mm-hmm. Intrinsic, is that the name of it? I want to say it's Intrinsic.
Yeah,
it's
what,
yeah, and I haven't been there yet, but we need to set up an episode to go up there. So, Denise, thank you for that. And anyone else who's listening or watching, if you have any thoughts on places to go, we'd like to get out
or
of
or just
the,
thoughts in general, you know?
Yeah, we'd like to get out of the lounge here at Yolitics.
Yeah, and let us know what
somewhere else.
Yeah, and let us know about those smart thoughts because again, Whiteley thinks that we've only got two smart listeners. That's what you said. Those were your words. That's how came out.
All right.
Anyway, we're at Yolitics.
It's on the record.
This is Daryl behind the camera here. You can't hear or see Daryl back here. But he's our North Star.
So if you want to get a hold of us, we're at yolitics@wfaa.com. Thanks as always for listening. Glad that you could be here. Glad that you could be here to hear me fact check myself in real time and get it right twice. Two out of two, baby.
And so since Wheeler won't answer my question, let me know what you think.
I gave names. I told you
if
names that they're talking about.
I gave you names and you had to find out
I'll
where they live.
I'll tell you what, nobody knows the names. We can sit here, we could throw darts all afternoon as to who's going to be at the top of that ticket and second on that ticket, and it may not be anything that we hit with a dart.
Well, you and I, probably not. But the one or two people who are smart enough to listen to this and who might know it, perhaps they would know who it is. But if you have any thoughts or if you think that it's crazy for Adam Kinzinger or anybody else to join Kamala on the ticket if the president were to step aside, let us know what you think. You can find me at Jason Whiteley, and you can find this guy at Jason Wheeler TV. Thanks so much for listening.
As always.
Appreciate you watching as well.
Yeah, we'll do it all again next week.
Click subscribe and get Yolitics every week. Yolitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.